Good morning, church. Hope we're all well and had a good morning. It's been an early one for us. Arlo woke up at 6:30, so we've been up and about since 6:50. But hopefully we won't muck up too much, and you can help us all by joining in singing. That would be great. So if you guys want to stand, and we're going to sing and worship the Lord.
To Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me, I see His wounds, His hands, His feet.
My Savior on that cursed tree.
Morning, everybody. Welcome. If you're new here today, welcome online. Great to see you on a sunny morning. Just going to be giving the notices, but first just wanted to just think about who God is in our lives and just lift up some prayer, really. I've been singing, there's a song that I've been singing by Maverick City Worship. I don't know if you've heard of them. And it's talking about how God is God of our past, our present, and our future. And I just think that's so important to kind of remember that the things that we're going through now, the things we see in the world, the things that we see in our own lives, in our families' lives, in our loved ones', situations, the difficulties, God is God in those things, and we can lift those things to Him. But we can also trust Him with our future and the fears that we have over the future when we see the uncertainty of, again, the world, ourselves, our family, but also the past, that we can trust Him with what we've been through, the stuff that we kind of want to forget, the stuff that we regret, the stuff that's damaged us. We can trust God with that past as well, that He can, make good out of what was meant for harm. So I just going to lift up some prayer, and I just maybe as I'm praying, but if you just close your eyes and lift up your prayer for yourself, family, for the situations that are on your heart in around the world or in our town, in our nation, and just lift them before God. Lord God, we do praise you for eternity, Lord. We are a people, Father, who want to trust you no matter what. And sometimes that's so hard. But, Father, I pray for every situation that people are going through now, Lord God, that you would bring comfort, that you would bring a breakthrough, Lord, that you would, your mercy and your love would shine through every situation where it feels like there isn't hope, Father. Bring your hope. Bring your bring all that needs to be done in that situation, Father. But I also just lift up, Father, people's pasts, Lord, the past that seem to maybe not let go, or the past that seem to keep the reminders of things that have happened, or things that we want to forget, Father. I just pray that you'd bring healing, Lord, into those situations, that you'd bring a newness, and you'd bring good out of harm, Lord. And we pray for our future, Lord, where we see uncertainty, where we see anxiety, and we don't know what is ahead, Father. Lord, we just pray that you would bring your peace into our worried minds, Lord, that you'd bring peace into our hearts, Lord, and that you would help us to lay our concerns before you, and that we would put our trust in you, Father. Make us a people of faith in the past, in the present, and in the future, Lord God. Pray that in Jesus' name. Okay, there's quite a lot of notices today. We've got quite a few bits going on. So there's a prayer meeting on Monday on Zoom. That's at 7:45. The link is on the email that Carla sent out. If you need that, if you need that email sent out, just speak to Carla, who's at the back there. There's also prayer for the persecuted church, which is on Tuesday at 7. They are focusing particularly on the disasters that have been happening in Bangladesh and India, and the difficulties that the people there are facing. We've got one of the first events linked to the seed money, which is the quiz evening, Haven Quiz Evening, which is 3rd of September. You can set up teams of 6 to 8 people, and it sounds like a great night. So speak to Sandy or Jill. I don't know if either of them are here today, but we've got a bit of time to kind of catch up if you're interested in joining up with that. The other thing linked to the seed money is Jeff and Chris are collecting electric wires, cables, anything that you kind of, I think we all collect drawers full of them. I've definitely got a drawer at home full of old wires that I don't know what they're for. There's a box in the porch, I think. Bring them in, speak to Chris, or who's over there waving, if you want to find out more about that. This summer, there's going to be the Taste and See Holiday Club week commencing the 25th of July. I believe there's a team of people who are already kind of going to be helping out, but they need more people. So if you're interested in helping out with that, it's the week beginning 25th of July, and probably speak to maybe Jamie when he comes back, I think. Thank you. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, so there we go. Jamie's still on annual leave. Jamie and Joe are still on annual leave, so they will be back with us next week on Tuesday. And I think that's everything, unless there's anything else. Apart from to say that the youth and the kids have swapped rooms, so youth are downstairs at the back and kids are upstairs in the extension. We're going to go out after this, I believe. Well, now. Yeah, we're going to take them out now. Right, lovely. That's it. Oh, sorry, and I forgot about the collection. How could I forget about the collection? Have we got anyone who will be able to take the baskets round? We've got the baskets going round now, but you can also give online, and there's also a card machine in the cafe area that you can give to as well. Thank you.
As the baskets go round and we worship God with our giving, I urge you to turn your hearts to God now as well and join us in singing, continuing the worship. Feel free to stand if you want, or you can sit, whatever's most comfortable for you as we enter into God's presence again.
See heaven invading this place. I see angels praising your holy name, and I sing praises, give you honor, worthy Jesus. I see glory falling in this place. See hope restored and the healing of all disease, and I sing praises, I give you honor, worthy Jesus. We give you praise and all of the honor, you are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory, God. We give you praise and all of the honor, you are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory, God, all of the glory, and all of the glory.
Sing, I see heaven.
I see heaven invading this place. I see angels praising your holy name, and I sing praises, give you honor, worthy Jesus. I see glory falling in this place. See hope restored and the healing of all disease, and I sing praises, I give you honor, worthy Jesus. We give you praise and all of the honor, you are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory. Praise and all of the honor, you are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory, God, all of the glory, all of the glory. this place. Let heaven come. Let your angels be released. Let heaven come. We will worship at your feet. Let heaven come. Face to face we want to meet. Let heaven come. Let your presence fill this place. Let heaven come. Let your angels be released. Let heaven come. We will worship at your feet. Let heaven come. Face to face we want to meet. Let heaven come. Praise all of the honor, you are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory, God. We give you praise, all of the honor, you are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory. We give you praise, all of the honor, you are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory, God, all of the glory, and all of the glory, all of the glory. Yes, all of the glory. Oh,
of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be
He loves us. Oh, how
stay in this moment. If you want to take your seats, I'm going to invite Richard up. He's going to share God's word with us this morning. But I urge you not to depart from this place and really have receptive ears and hearts for what Richard's going to speak to us today. Father, thank you for Richard. I pray that you'll speak through him, that you'll minister to each and every one of us this morning, whether we're here in person or we're watching it online or later on in the week, that your power can penetrate our lives completely, Lord. And I pray that we'll turn our hearts to you today. Amen.
It was a very special moment when we thought about that image of the mercy of God being so great and so free. And that really takes us right to the heart of what I think I'm bringing to you today. As I was preparing, a quote came to mind. You can hopefully see it on the screen, from the film Taxi Driver, which some of you, if you're young enough, may remember. An incredibly youthful Robert De Niro says these words, "You talking to me?" And then produces a gun and waves it threateningly at people and says it again. And I thought to myself, what better way could I begin a service than by threatening you all? So, I came prepared. I have my new pastoral counselling device. It works like this. You come and stand or kneel just in front of me. I insert this into my eye socket and aim the point at you and say, "Tell me all about it," and then stab ya. How does that sound? Do you think it'll catch on? Oh. That's rather disappointing. That was going to be something I was going to sell in a book and make a fortune to supplement my pension. The new approach to pastoral ministry. And you could say to people, "How do you like your steaks?" That's enough of that. Rather more helpfully, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus addresses the same kind of issues, and that's where we're going this morning. Can I have the next slide up, please? When we communicate, there are different ways of doing it, aren't there? When you see that picture, there's one person with an enormous great mallet, somebody with a saber, and somebody in the middle. And you can interpret that picture at least two ways. Either we have a peacemaker, or we have a victim. And just that picture, we've got no way of knowing, have we? Ooh. Next one, please. I love gardening. I've been doing more of it and I'm winning. It's taken me a while, but I'm getting there. And I'm really enjoying these wonderful plants. And I get a sense of happiness and pleasure and contentment when I sit in my garden and watch the flowers with the bees and the butterflies buzzing around, listening to the bird song and trying to ignore the noise of the traffic up Chalcraft Lane. But it's lovely. And gardens are beautiful, aren't they? And plants are wonderful, aren't they? Next slide, please. Again, ancient history. The Little Shop of Horrors, meet Audrey. Or you could say, meet Audrey, the man-eating plant. Can I let you into a really important, very deep secret? You mustn't spread it beyond these four walls. Next slide, please. All gardeners have got it wrong. In reality, plants are farming us, giving us oxygen daily until eventually we decompose and they can consume us. Did you realize that? Huh? Oh. And you're all thinking now, please go home. That's encouragement enough, isn't it, eh? Anybody else here a fan of Adrian Plass and his books? A few of us. If you haven't ever read them, they're worth it. He talks about a wonderful group in a church, a fictional church, this would never happen in real life, where there exists the spot it and stop it group. Anything that is new or that they haven't done before should be stopped. And it was their purpose in the church to make sure that nothing changed and nothing new ever crossed the horizon. Spot it and stop it. I've got news for you. If that's the kind of church you want to go to, you're in the wrong place. Next slide, please. This is where we turn, helpfully and eventually, to the words, or the first of the words of Jesus that I want us to think through this morning. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, in the time of Jesus, one of the ways they did commerce was they bought grain or flour or whatever. They would have a big basket and they would hold it, and the seller would pour the stuff into this measuring basket. And according to the Jewish rabbis, there were two scales you could use. One of them was a generous scale, one was a mean scale. And they said basically, whichever scale you use is the one God will use for you. So a generous seller would pour into this basket until it filled up and overflowed into their cloak as they tried to catch it all and hold it. A generous, generous gift. That's what Jesus is referring to here. And he's talking about mercy and forgiveness and attitudes that are a long, long way from shoving a stake into somebody's face or being unkind and cruel with our words. Now, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. That means you don't answer it, I do. Have you ever messed up big time? Yes. Three of us. Okay, the rest of you, this will come to you one day. If it hasn't happened yet, you will find that you have really messed up and you get to the point of, bleh. And the kind of thoughts that might go through our minds are these. I'm a failure. Ever thought that? Yes. Me too. They're all judging me. Never felt that. That's a shame, but yes. I never felt not even God could love me. Not now. Not after I've done this. Not after I've been like that. God couldn't even love me. Never felt that. Isn't that tragic? These are three things that we should never have to feel. These three things are not in God's plan of blessing and joy and that wholeness of life that God's desire is that we should have and enjoy. But when we get to that point, we really depend on those around us and their response. If I come to you and say, I'm feeling a terrible failure, I preached a load of waffle this morning, it was rubbish, and I know most of you want you to go home and or go and have a coffee or get some cake, and I don't blame you at all in this, I'm a failure. And you said, yeah, that's how you should feel. That will really bless me. I will go home feeling encouraged, and if I had a cat, I would kick it. So, for the sake of the neighbour's cat, please don't be like that today. Instead, as we move on to the next slide, we talk about judging or showing mercy? And in those verses that I read, did you notice something? Jesus says the measure we use to dish it out is the measure that will be used for us. It's no longer a theoretical kind of point of, you know, if you want to be a good boy and have a good reputation, you can be generous. No, it's much more. It's really important for your own life, for your own being. The way we respond to others is how they will respond to us. And God says that's a kind of principle. You know, this, it's not a fluke, it's not chance. And we know it, don't we? Basically, we know if we're nice to somebody, they tend to be nice back. Now, sometimes, you know, if you catch me before my first cup of coffee in the morning, you might not quite get the gentle, glowing tenderness that you might expect. Probably still get a lousy joke, but never mind. But how about this? If we can actually have a measure of control over how blessed we're going to be, how generously God is going to treat us, and how other people are going to behave towards us, we'd be pretty daft if we didn't say, that sounds like a really good idea, I think I'll do that. Now, just imagine for a minute. We'll come back to this a bit later. But Jesus spoke about taking the speck out of somebody's eye. But first of all, take the plank out of your own. Now, I was looking for a volunteer, and Hazel said, no, I won't actually come close. But can you see how, you know, me wanting to take somebody's speck out of their eye is actually going to be both impossible and dangerous and a really bad idea, and it looks ridiculous? How do you think the people listening to Jesus responded at that point? How many of you think they went, or how many of them laughed? I rather suspect sometimes when Jesus says things that take us a bit by surprise, it's done deliberately to have an impact on us, to shock us, maybe make us laugh. There's nothing quite like getting people on side while you're talking, if you can build some kind of rapport. So at the moment, I'm doing okay because there's no snoring, nobody's left yet, nobody's thrown anything, don't get ideas. So, okay, yeah, so far so good. Judging, showing mercy, communicating with love and mercy. It really, really matters. The second part of that, with the next slide, please. Verses 39 to 40. Wait, what gives us the right to take God's right away from him? Because when we judge, we're doing what only God is competent to do. And the only one who will give a truly fair and complete judgment is God himself. Think about it. Perhaps you've been on jury service. You're faced with an interesting or possibly disturbing case. And it's down to you and your colleagues and on the jury to make a decision. And you're sitting there and you think, I don't know who to believe. They might be guilty, or they might be, oh dear, what if they're innocent and I say they should go to jail? What if they're guilty and I let them go? It's a dilemma. We are fallible in our ability to judge. And so I think quite sensibly, Jesus reminds us that that responsibility isn't ours. God will judge. And I, for one, am glad about that. Because, next slide please, when we have messed up big time, and I know I'm speaking to people who understand me at this point, when we have messed up big time, what do we need? Forgiveness, yes. And what would be nice is a friend. A friend. Do we need to feel judged? When you've done something daft, do you need somebody to come up and tell you? You know, hypothetical conversation could never take place in my house. Husband says to beautiful wife, I can't find X. And the conversation goes like this. When did you have it last? Where did you put it down? And I'm thinking, I'm sorry, this hypothetical person is thinking, if I knew the answer to those questions, it wouldn't be lost. That's reasonable, wouldn't it? Okay. What I need at that moment is a miracle. Oh, what, sorry, this person needs a miracle. The wonderful wife is supposed immediately to know exactly where it is, why it's there, how I can get it back, and what is the proper way I should use it. Because certain people have proper ways of doing everything. Some people apparently even have a proper way to peel a grape. Did you know that? No, you didn't. And you think, why? I didn't need to know that. I don't want to know that. Put it down as one of those little interesting facts that has arisen out of scientific research. Some people think there is a proper way to peel a grape. Somebody else, can't think who, says, just eat it. Peel it, if you must. Well, here we are. We've messed up. We need a friend. We need forgiveness. We need mercy. We need love. We need to be supported. We may need to be corrected. We may need to be greeted in those immortal words of Captain Mannering, stupid boy. And that's fine. But there's a world of difference between being called a stupid boy by somebody who loves you and being called stupid boy by somebody who thinks you are no better than a worm. You know that, don't you? I don't need to tell you that. How good are you at being merciful? Remember the principle? The measure we use is the measure used on us. So then, next slide, please. How should we judge? Because when Jesus says, do not judge, some people take it to mean basically, well, you never make a decision or, you know, criticize or anything. Jesus said, don't judge. Well, I don't actually think that Jesus was telling us that our brains are optional. You know, they're not the sort of thing we can trade in after 50 years if we haven't used it. We're given brains and emotions and spirit so that we can be people, real people. And that involves relationships with others and making choices and decisions and living together, hopefully in harmony. And Jesus isn't saying, you know, if you're going to follow me, you must be gullible. If somebody comes up to you and says, I've got this wonderful bridge for sale on the River Thames, and it's yours for £200. Well, I've got the title deeds here. Anybody got £200? What do I hear? £200? Do I hear £20? Just give me a start. You know, your very own bridge. No? Okay. We're not called to be gullible. We're not called to be wishy-washy. And Jesus is not abolishing law or discipline. He's saying something much deeper than that. He's talking about the way we live positively. How are we to judge? By discerning wisely. Taking the time to examine evidence. Getting the facts. Hearing from the eyewitnesses. Listening to people. Discerning wisely. I had a chap once knocked on my door. It happens sometimes when you're a minister. He wanted the train fare from Derby down to London. I can't remember exactly what it was, but the story he came out with, On a level of believability, it was somewhere between zero and the length of Boris Johnson's nose. Somewhere between those two things. I didn't give him the money, I didn't have the money come to that, but I was able to give him some food and point him to where he could find shelter and somewhere to be. I did the best I could. Should I have done more? Could I have done? I don't know. I acted as wisely as I could, for both for that person and for myself. We're also called to live as holy. Remember the fashion for wearing little "what would Jesus do" bracelet things? You know, some of us thought they were brilliant, some of us thought they were a bit naff. I was undecided. But it's not a bad question to ask, is it? You know, when I'm making this choice or listening to this person's story, what would Jesus do here? It's not a bad kind of starting point, is it? Because it would mean we're trying to live in a Jesus-like way. We're trying to be holy. We're trying to be living tuned into God, if I put it that way. And one of the things that rises out of that kind of wise discernment and holiness very often is encouragement. I have to say, one of my favourite characters in the New Testament is Barnabas. Huh? What did he do? He wandered around the Mediterranean, he spoke a bit, God used him for a few miracles. But how's he really remembered? He's nicknamed the Son of Encouragement. Hey, that's not a bad label, is it? Hey, wouldn't that make a great email address? sonofencouragement@heaven.com. We can dream. We can dream. Next slide, please. One of the things that is useful sometimes is digging back into church history. Some of you will have come across a man called Matthew Henry. He was a Puritan, lived quite a long time ago. Interestingly enough, his commentary is still quite useful and quite widely read. Because he was a man of the Spirit of God. He had a heart for God. He had wisdom. He loved the scriptures, and he was able to help others to understand them and apply them. This was a quote. "In judging and censuring our brethren, we meddle with that does not belong to us." Yeah, we can correct and encourage and support, but it's not our place to judge others. God, and only God, is the righteous judge. Next slide, please. If we learn that, do you know what? Something wonderful could happen. Perhaps the world will hear good news from the lips of Christians in place of what they see as our judgmentalism. Isn't it tragic when people say they don't get to church because they feel they're judged and looked down on? That should not be. We are not better than them. We just have a relationship with God that they may not yet have. Judging them? Oh. If you want to really get your blood pressure high, get involved in the online debates about the changes to the abortion law in the United States that happened this week. Actually, seriously, don't. It's a hugely complex ethical issue, and there are arguments and thoughts from all sides that we should take into account, and trust me, we are not going to solve it. But there is real life tragedy, and a whole load of people feel that the church are among those who are the condemners and the judges and the aggressors. It's a difficult one, isn't it? How do we draw that careful line between wisdom and righteousness and becoming judgmental? God is good. God has provided the atonement, the reconciliation, which is the way of redemption. Our job is to share what we know of that, what we understand of God and his ways, and to do it with love and mercy, because then we will be good news as well as speaking good news. I had a friend who, you know, some friends, they're at times really encouraging and wonderful and a blessing, and at times you want to smack them around the head and say, shut up and sit down. Or am I the only person with friends like that? Am I the person you're wanting to smack around the head and say, shut up and sit down? Yeah, let's not go there. Well, Jesus carried on, having established these kind of principles of mercy. He went on in Luke chapter 6 to say this. He told them a parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? Students are not above their teachers, but all who are fully trained will be like their teacher. And why do you look at a speck of sawdust in somebody else's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say, friend, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly and will be able to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Next slide, please. Fetch the plank. And people will be sitting there listening to Jesus and thinking, this is both shocking, horrifying, and still looks ridiculous. That would be so funny, but am I supposed to laugh? Is this funny, or is it, oh dear, Jesus, what have you done? You've presented us with a truth in a way that it makes us all inside, and we don't quite know how to respond. I think Jesus had a remarkably good sense of humour. The man who spoke about a camel going through the eye of a needle, can you imagine anything more ridiculous? I can, me doing free-fall parachuting. Yeah. But I think camel wins it. And, you know, scholars have written stuff about a gate in Jerusalem called the Camel Gate, and they've gone into great length and said, you know, come on, guys, give it a break. Jesus is telling a funny. He's making a comparison, the ridiculous. This great big camel and this teeny, weeny, weeny, weeny little hole. Of course you're supposed to laugh. It would do us good, you know, as Christians, to laugh more. A prophetic word for you. The Lord says, lighten up, my people. And that works on two levels. Spreading the light, spreading the joy. Can the blind lead the blind? Students and teachers. Next slide, please. Jesus is saying, be careful who you allow to lead you. If you're following somebody, these are the kind of things you need to be looking for. Wisdom. Is this a wise person, or are they an idiot? Are they well-meaning and wrong? What are the choices? Are they wise? You know, the only way you get wise is by making mistakes and learning from them. The difference between being wise and being stupid is I learn from mistakes and I'm trying to get wiser. I know some people who don't learn from mistakes and carry on being stupid. Compassion. When this person speaks to us or shares with us or spends time with us, do we feel comfortable with them? Do we feel loved and accepted? Do we feel that this person actually would, you know, go into bat for us? Have they got mercy that oozes out of their pores and spreads? Have they got any sign of humility? We were in America, I was on sabbatical one time, and we went down for what the Americans gloriously miscalled breakfast. which was a banana and a piece of Madeira cake. The coffee was good. On the television, I won't name his name, but there was one of the fairly well-known American prosperity gospel preachers. And boy, this is breakfast time, mind. He was giving it some welly, really was. He was coming across. Oh, and I remember sitting there thinking, what on earth gives him the right to speak like that? Humility? I don't think he'd recognise it. It came up and booted him in the backside. Humility? There are some people you meet and they are truly humble. Kind. Who likes meeting kind people? A bit of kindness goes a long way, doesn't it? We can all share that. And there's a huge difference between people who are essentially kind and those who are not. Ultimately, it's because these people are becoming Jesus-like. I mean, the perfect leader, the perfect mentor, if you like, it's got to be Jesus, hasn't it? As you read the New Testament, what comes over so clearly is this is a man who was lovely, in your face, willing to call a spade rather than a slightly rusty digging instrument. But somebody it was good to spend time with. Somebody you could learn from and share with. And when we meet people who are becoming more like Jesus, do you know what? I like those kind of people. I really do. Next slide, please. Jesus concludes his little set of stories by saying this. Gives people a test. This is how you know the difference. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Now, in case you didn't know, two of the major Israelite crops are figs and grapes. Everybody knew exactly what a fig tree looked like. Everybody knew what a grape vine looked like. Yeah. You wouldn't even go looking at a thorn bush. Why on earth would you go at the briars, the brambles? Okay, they have blackberries, maybe. They have thorns and it's nasty. Eek. You remember as a kid, well, perhaps it's my family, and we used to go out with buckets. And we'd go up onto the South Downs behind Portslade and Southwick. And my wretched parents would make me lean into these brambles, getting scratched and ouched. At least that's how I felt at the time. I didn't mind so much when we had blackberry and apple pie, using those blackberries. That was fine. But, you know, would I have done it out of choice? I'd much rather let somebody else do it and just eat the pie. But figs and grapes, Jesus says, you know where they grow. You know that's good. He carries on. Good people bring good things out of the good stored up in their heart. Evil people bring evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's a very simple test, isn't it? Because what comes out is based on what's already in there. And when somebody has spent a lifetime trying to become more Jesus-like, not a coincidence that hopefully what comes out of their life is actually good, pleasurable, enjoyable, helpful, a blessing, a joy. Because what is inside is the eternal life and love of God himself. Absolute goodness and purity and holiness. And let's be honest, we aren't that yet. But the more of God in us, the more of God will come out of us. Ask the question again, have you ever messed up big time? You ever felt a failure? Ever felt that you're being judged? Not even God could love you? I hope now we're ready to move on to the next slide, which sets out a really good principle. One principle is don't throw planks of wood onto the platform. Never mind. The principle I want to bring out of this passage is this one. Merciful generosity. This should be a hallmark of the Christian life. Merciful generosity. When we're in that mess, when we're feeling a failure and feeling hurt, who do we look back to? Who helped me the most? Who reminded me of God's mercy? Those are the people, actually, that you remember and are grateful to God for. Because they bring the love of Jesus right home to us. They modeled Jesus to us. Next slide, please. So how do we discern between good and bad? How do we judge in the sense Jesus is using it? Well, as we've seen, you know, we start with, look at the obvious. That's a fig tree. Oh, Dory, it's got figs on it. That's good. Move on. Listen. Really listen to people. Listen not just to the words, but to the heart. Learn to read the face and the body language. You know, if somebody comes to you and they're all hunched over and crunched in, and you can almost certainly work out for yourself, they're not a happy bunny. Something is wrong. Something may be seriously amiss in their life. And they don't need to be told to pull their socks up or whatever other choice words might be used. They need to be loved and listened to and gently pointed in the right direction. And by the way, you can point people in the right direction so much better when you take them by the arm and walk alongside them. Don't assume that we know what's right and wrong. What happens when something new happens in a church? There's an old story about a vicar in a Church of England church who decided that he didn't want to cause controversy, but he really wanted the piano over the far side of the church. He knew what would happen because he had a spotted and stop it group. He knew what would happen is if he just moved it, there would be an outcry.
It's never been there before.
Can't really think of any good reason why it shouldn't be over there. And so, but never mind. What he decided to do was he moved it an inch a week. No, I'm joking. Don't assume that we know what's good, or if something is new, that it's automatically wrong. Maybe we need to listen a bit more. Seek loving teachers. It's all the difference in the world, isn't it, between somebody who speaks to you, I hope I'm doing this morning, somebody who speaks to you out of love and a concern for all of our well-being and our fellowship together, and somebody who just stands and harangues you, you know. Let me dangle you over the fires of hell till you really wriggle, you miserable sinners. Oh, there may be a place for that under certain circumstances. Not here, not today, not me. Be careful. Be wise. And watch out for the planks. Sometimes we can tell very easily that somebody should be approached with caution. Next slide, please. It boils down to this, quite simple, isn't it? Actions plus speech reveal the truth about the attitudes, beliefs, and motives of the person who is acting and speaking. Interesting, isn't it? There's a whole profession of acting. People pretending. and you watch Laurence Olivier, and you can believe that he is the character. He's pretending. He does it very well. But Jesus had something to say, didn't he, about hypocrites? You probably know this, you may know this. In Greek theatre, they had a mask, the Hypocritos. I'll probably pronounce that horribly wrong. But it was a face mask that the character would wear when what he was saying wasn't actually true and correct and right. And you knew, they're just acting, you know, we know that. And Jesus says to his followers, don't be a hypocrite, don't wear a mask. Be real. Be the person God is making you to be, the best person God is making you to be. Because the inner character is revealed through the openness of our heart and our ears and our mouth and our hands. The picture, indulge me for a minute, a new plant I put in the garden this week. I've been looking for one for ages. I just think they're pretty. And when they open up, this white bud suddenly, oh, bright yellow in the middle and these lovely maroon splodges. Oh, it may just be me, you know, I get fanciful about flowers and things. I love them. There's no hiding anything in that flower, is there? I really hope, that at least some of the time when you look at me as the preacher this morning, you see a life that is trying to be open and saying, look, I'm not perfect. I'm really not perfect, but God is good. And God is love. Last slide, please. Paul writes something similar and quite profound in Galatians chapter 6. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. The photograph was taken down on Aldwych Beach. Sunset, one glorious day. We've got a mission to this town. May the shore community be marked by this kind of love, a spirit of gentleness, a love of mercy, a care for those who come to us and those we go out to. Wouldn't that be a church worth belonging to? Isn't it just? Isn't that actually remarkably like the beginnings of the kingdom of heaven on earth? Ooh, there's a novel thought. Church representing God here and now, and people thinking, wow, isn't God good? They may also be thinking, that must be God being good among them because that lot on their own, you know. God is good. Please may he shine out of us and bring that love and mercy and gentleness where it's most needed in a world that is hurting so badly. Isn't it just? I'm going to ask the musicians to come back and lead us in a final song while they're coming. Just like to lead us in a short prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you spoke so beautifully and you spoke so gently and you shared truth and light in a spirit of love. You spoke it as it truly was, and sometimes that meant you said things that were really quite confrontational. But Lord, there's that smile, that hint of laughter, that expression of love. Lord, may you, as Prince of Peace, grant your wholeness to us, fill us with your Spirit, so that, as we sang earlier, there's a depth like the ocean of grace that we are just being filled up with. And Lord, that's so appropriate for us here at the Shore Community. Lord, may the ocean of your grace bring life and hope and love in this building and outside it, in this community. And Lord, start with us. Make us like Jesus. Amen.
Hopefully we're not a spot it and stop it church, because we're going to teach you a new song. It's very simple. If you feel that you just need to listen to it first for free, but join in when you feel you can.
Forget the moment I met you, the moment you called my name, pulled me out of the darkness, gave me a promise to never thirst again. All that I ever my heart is found in you. I have tasted life, nothing satisfies like you do. The fount that won't run dry, nothing satisfies like you do. I want all that you offer, your living water, drink from the endless well. And I will sit at your table, forever grateful, forever where you dwell. All that I ever wanted, heart is found in you. And I have tasted life, nothing satisfies like you do. The fountain that won't run dry, nothing satisfies like you do.
I've tasted.
And I have tasted life, nothing satisfies like you do. Oh, the fountain that won't run dry, nothing satisfies like you do. All my fountains are in you, and all my hope is built on your love. All my fountains are in you, with every breath I live for you.
And no one else can touch my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Brings this service to a close. I pray that you'll have a great week ahead, that you'll be able to reflect on what Richard said this morning and hopefully take some actions forward, press into God and seek understanding. So feel free to grab a coffee and a tea, potentially some cake if there's any out there, and see you next week.